good to have you tuned in as we are kicking off right now and here this morning in this very segment of the show. We're kicking off Aloha Broadcast Park Week. What does that mean? Well, this place here, this building, this facility used to be known for many years as Broadcast Park. And within just probably a few more weeks, a few months at the most, it won't be here anymore. We're moving the radio stations over to new facilities, and then this place is going to go away. It's going to be torn down and gone, and a little piece of Napa history goes with it. We're going to celebrate that by talking with some folks who you have heard over the years on this station, and in many cases you'll still hear out working in the business around the Bay Area or other parts of California. First up for us to highlight Broadcast Park history is Henry Mulak, joining us now via telephone from San Jose. Henry, good morning and welcome to the show.
Barry, I want to make clear now, I'm talking with Barry Martin, not Harry Martin.
That is correct. Thanks for clearing that up. Yeah.
We're not gonna talk ill of the dead now.
No.
This is yes.
No, nobody.
But you know, a lot of people would think that I wouldn't. You know, I wouldn't like the Napa Sentinel. I want you to know I loved the Napa Sentinel. Is it still around?
No, not for a long time.
It's not. Oh, I love that newspaper. It was the best ever. It fit perfectly in the bottom of my birdcage.
All right. The good old days, the old times.
Yeah. We can talk about that. Lots to talk about.
Yes, let's set the scene a little bit for folks. First of all, when did you work here? Because it's all just a blur in my mind.
Well, I actually worked there in the best time in the history of the world. Couldn't have gotten a better time.
Yeah.
1990 through 1995.
Okay.
1990, what was going on? All right, let me drop a few names here.
Mm-hmm.
Ed Solomon. How about Vincent DiDomenico?
Yeah.
How about Mel Verilman?
Mm.
You remember who Robert Westmeyer was?
Sure do.
Yeah, he was the county council.
County council.
And this was the year the Napa County Winery Defamation. Napa County Winery Defamation Ordinance. I mean, Definition Ordinance came into effect.
That's
which,
right.
Of course, I think has a tremendous effect even today, right?
Oh, yeah.
And, let's talk about things like flooding. This is coming off the 86 flood, and we had floods, and I had never covered so many floods. What a disaster. Oh, my God. Floods in 92, 95, and then 97. I went from KVON, KVYN in 1995 over to KFTY in Santa Rosa, a television station, by the way. And this is a feather in your cap there. KFTY 50, Nifty 50, we used to call it.
Yep.
I became a reporter and assignment editor, and that station's no longer with us. So here we are, KVON, KVYN, still with us, still kicking.
Yeah,
that's great.
Imagine that. It's kept electricity on all these years. after KFTY, you ended up working at several different Bay Area stations. You went overseas and worked in Germany. Tell us a little bit about what happened after 95, after KFTY.
Well, KVON, KVYN was the best. I was news director. I had a small staff. We really got to do some stuff. Got a lot of great things done there, and then I just my career continued on that upward trajectory. I worked for Channel 5, CBS, but I was freelancing, and it wasn't going to pay them very much. It wasn't worth their while to put me on staff because I could do whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted, in whatever position they wanted. So I went over to Channel 4, which was Cron, the NBC station, the powerhouse, and they hired me right away. Well, from right away, as soon as I got in, the giant sucking sound started. this guy out of Tennessee got in a bidding war with NBC and outbid NBC for Channel 4, and it and NBC got so upset they pulled the affiliation, mm-hmm. and Cron pretty much fell on its face.
Yep.
Then I went to CBS, your competitor, KCBS Radio, as a reporter there, and got paid more, though, when I went to ABC, which is right across the street, by the way, in San Francisco. But then the economic crisis hit. I had an opportunity. I'm going to make this a quick story in the sense that I had some training available to me to be a teacher, and that's how I got into Berlin. I'd been actually toying with my German for many, many years, having minored in it, mm-hmm. in college. And now Germany is the largest and most important country in the European Union, and very few bureaus there. So I worked my way in there and called up the network in New York and said, I can report now. I'm here and ready to go. And so I became a foreign correspondent, a live stream. That was mm-hmm. a real kick.
Yeah,
I came back for a family emergency. My mother, I'm helping my mother. She lives in the town of Sonora, not Sonoma, but Sonora. Mm-hmm. So I'm now at NBC. The station is actually located in San Jose, NBC Bay Area. I live and work in downtown San Jose and commute to Sonora at least once a week and help mom and doing a bunch of different stuff.
Yeah,
so.
Sweet. So yeah. The business survives. You've seen phenomenal change in the news industry in your career. And I don't know how you could write a book. You could be a good person to lay out this whole story of how the news business has, has it crashed? Has it? Is it never going to be the same? What do you think?
Well, it used to be that a radio station was very valuable. A television station was very valuable because it gave you the platform for speech. So you could actually talk to a lot of people all at once. Well, the dynamic has changed tremendously now, where it's no longer difficult to get your voice out. Instead, what has happened is that it's difficult to be heard. It used to be difficult to get your voice out, but now it's being difficult to be heard because it's literally being drowned out by all these voices. And in that sense, there's the money isn't there to provide the staff to get you the good material that you need. So it's a cheapening, if you will, of speech. Mm. And with that, I think we could talk a lot about the problems we have in the sense that you have a lot of organizations out there that are not really based on the truth. They're just based on what they think, what they feel, easy stuff. I would call it the Charlie Chaplin era of internet video. A lot of people out there, doing funny, silly stuff, animal videos, kid videos, everything like that they can share. And so we're not as focused as we were. And the news cycle, as we know, is just, it's once you break one story, you're off to another. There's just no rest for the weary.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. So going back to that, the salad days, 90 to 95 here in Napa, mm-hmm. Remind me of who you were working with. Who else in the station here were you connected to? I know you had a couple of news people in your news department.
Yes. Well, of course, the top dog, Tom Young.
Of course.
And Tom, what a man. And his commentaries. We'll remember him from his commentaries, that gravelly voice. And you may remember more of the commentaries than I do. He was a real community man.
Yeah.
And I think the community, Napa Valley, Sonoma Valley, Vallejo, all the way over to Fairfield, even getting into Santa Rosa a little bit. I think they owe him a lot. He did not just turn the station over to Rush Limbaugh at 9 a.m. He had you. He had you doing the talk shows. And so you brought in those comments, and you were... Well, you still are. I don't get a chance to hear you that much. anymore, of course, because I'm way down here. But, yeah, you used to, you could handle Harry Martin. You did it by, you know, yeah, treating people with real dignity. And he, you know, you would read that Napa Sentinel, and then you would take that, you would answer each criticism he had of the television or the radio station and make it clear that you were reading him and that he couldn't get away with what he was saying. I didn't take it so seriously, the Sentinel, that is, and so he really let loose on me. Mm-hmm. Jay worked at KVYN, DJ Jay. Still around, wonderful guy, and what a history, what a knowledge of music. So the KVYN side, so we would, I would hop back and forth between the two. I would do the morning news, and then when I was replaced by people like Tracy Romine, what a great talent, funny guy, quick-witted, and very good with you on the morning show, Tracy Romine and Barry Martin, and but whatever the case, I would switch back and forth. And I would be on the Vine doing these quick, shorter newscasts, still providing the community with information, even though it was a music format. Patricia Steer was a DJ there. Who else? Oh, Mike Martindale. Martindale, the engineer. No, he wasn't on the air at all, but loved him so much. What a great guy. And could always commiserate with him about the problems we faced at the station. and some still around.
I have trouble explaining to people today what a bustling place this was in that time frame. You know, there were 15, 20 people at work in this building every single day, and another 15 or 20 coming and going, advertisers and clients and people recording public service announcements. And, you know, it was just a constant stream of activity. The phones were constantly ringing. A little bit like the old Napa Valley Register newsroom, you know, my comparison. We've all shrunk down to be these very different things now.
You even had the world of the outdoors.
That's right.
George Carl. George Carl, bless him. Sales director, sales manager, whatever his But he managed to get on the air, avid fisherman, even took me fishing. and then, of course, boy, you have to love Ira C. Smith. He's still with us, right?
Absolutely.
Still doing sports.
Banging away every
Ira,
day.
Ira, we love you. Where is he?
Yeah, he'll be around. We're doing Aloha Broadcast Park Week. We're kicking it off today with Henry Mulak, the voice you're hearing now. You may recall from back in the 90s reporting the news. Do you do any on-the-air work now for NBC Bay Area?
Yes, I do, but it's very piecemeal. I do commentary. I'm working on more of that. It's on for CNBC. It's a huge company, and I have morphed into a Silicon Valley guy. I go to Stanford. I do technology classes. I teach, not at Stanford, but I take actual classes at Stanford just to be up on what's going on, and as opposed to what I did there, which, I mean, what to say about people like... how about Robert Mondavi? I mean, he really got me into it. That was something, you know, where wine is food. He was, to have so many meals with Robert Mondavi at his press events, what an absolute great joy. So I covered the wine industry then. Now I'm more of a tech guy, so that answers it.
Yep, times change and people change with, or you get left behind, right?
I just can't do that bottle of wine a day anymore.
So what do you think about, you know, as we were talking, small market stations like this one, and same true in newspapers and you know, television, small market stations used to be where people learned the craft, whether that was being a DJ or programming music or doing news like you did.
Yep.
That doesn't really exist anymore. You teach, and I'm sure you interact with younger people. Where are they learning how to do these journalistic things that are still very important to us?
Yeah, or do they even want to be in journalism?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of people want to be talent, but what do they know about traditional journalism anymore? So the stations now don't pay what they used to pay, so there's not the money there. It's a situation. Well, actually, what the talk is now that broadcasting was really just an anomaly. It was something where there was a limited, you know, there was a limited number of airwaves, or could argue there still are, but, you know, you just, and so there was this regulation to go along with it, the FCC, which is still around, obviously. You had only a limited number of stations per the government regulation, but now since everybody has, the ability to get their word out through the digital medium, how does that work? It's hard to find people, young people that are really understanding how important journalism is. I can't answer that question because it's so foggy right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know back in our day when we were coming up and learning, the idea that you would focus on making yourself a brand, you know, as a person, or just being, you know, an influencer, which is a thing now to aspire to be, that didn't even exist. It wasn't even a kernel of an idea. There had to be something more than that, and I don't know, maybe some of the...
It's hard for us, isn't it? Because we spent so much time working to build the brand together. We had to work together to build the brand for the station, the Voice of Napa, KVON, KVYN. We had to build that brand, we had to work it, and in doing that team effort, we could go real far. The African proverb you may be hearing a lot about recently, you know, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And we went far together building this brand, and we could rely on each other, and when we needed, we could take a break. Now with these individual brands, people branding themselves, it's constant work. And it pays so little. Google, Alphabet, YouTube specifically, you'll make only $1,000 or $2,000 a month if you get a decent brand.
Mm-hmm.
If you branded yourself well and you've got yourself enough subscribers. And by the way, I have 2 YouTube channels. I've done this. I've worked on that, and just to see what it was like. And it is horrendous. So people like you and me are kind of like, oh, God,
yeah.
I've done this. I've done this already, and I got paid a lot more for it, and it was a lot more secure.
Yeah, that has been one of the notable differences. The value applied to the work we do is a tenth of what it used to be, probably.
You remember just this last year, there was a woman who had her brand swiped away by YouTube because she had done some things they didn't like, and they wouldn't pay her as much as she was getting. They changed their payment method. Mm-hmm. So she was going from, I think, $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000 a month just down to a few hundred dollars, and got extremely upset and went down to YouTube headquarters in San Bruno and shot it up.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, on that sad note, we've run out of time. This has been really enjoyable, and you had some really wise things to say. I appreciate all the wisdom you brought to the radio.
Oh, amazing. Henry, well, thank you, Barry. Good talking to you.
Henry Mulak with NBC Bay Area Now and Broadcast Park veteran of 1990 to 95. Thanks for your time. Have a great day. Let's have a beer sometime.
Yeah, it'd be great.
All right. Take care. All righty, folks. Segment one of our Aloha Broadcast Park series.